Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
There once was a man from Nantucket. Hickory dickory dock. This little piggy went to market.
Are we doing sound tests?
It is Free Talk Live. Somebody last week.
I don't think that's what they meant when they said vamp.
Last week somebody said, we broke the captain. Because I was having a difficult time. I may have stuttered a time or two, that kind of thing. So I just wanted to get, like, sibilance. Test 1-2. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. Right? You know, get these sort of mic checks out of the way just to prove to myself that I am no longer broken, or at least less broken than I was last week. What's the name of the show?
Free Talk Live.
What's the phone number?
603-283-6160.
Right. And people can call that if they want to join us, because we're, well, a call-in live talk radio program that's on, I don't know, a couple hundred radio stations. We're on the internet as well, so we are worldwide.
Oh, yeah. And who knows, maybe in 10 years we'll be intergalactic.
Are around the globe. As, was it Kim Jong-il from South Park would say? Right.
Wasn't that from, what was it called? Oh, Team America.
Team America, yeah.
We can't sing that, though. Same creators.
America, FCC, yeah. Coming again to save the mother FCC and day, yeah.
That was still Matt Stone and Trey Parker, so.
I gotta figure out the syllables there, because, like, the mother FCC and day doesn't quite, it's got more syllables than the word I can't say.
The FCC and day, yeah!
Coming again to save the FCC and day, yeah!
Oh, that actually flows maybe even better than the original one.
Yeah.
Close enough, it is.
Yeah.
Well done. In the studio, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me today.
Zephan.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
We've been trying to get Zephan on a... I mean, I can't say a really regular basis, but like, you
know, once a month is regular.
You know, I mean, like, we aim for once a month. We seem to accomplish once a quarter.
Well, this is a very saturated quarter, then.
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes you gotta what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? You gotta sandbag a couple. Right?
Yeah, that's
true. Get a couple in so that you make your average.
Yeah.
Every time. We're happy to have Zephan here as well. It's always a good time. So I, man, outside of being like, you know, kind of broken, last week with my, I don't even know what to call it. I'm not feeling right yet. You know what I mean? Like today, it's just been kind of a bleh day for me. Like I'm not ill.
Well, you're in luck. The day's over.
You're in luck? Is that when you pee clearly?
It's the golden hour.
Urine luck. Health tip for all of those who might need to know this. I didn't learn this until 15 years ago or something, but you're supposed to drink enough water in a day to where you pee clear, and that's when you've had enough water.
Yep.
I didn't know that. I just drank whatever. Didn't matter to me, you know. I really never paid any attention to the amount of water that I was putting in my body. And then, like, I was working at, like, a call center, and this old black lady, she'd put on her headphones during break and just do, like, this neck move kind of a thing. Like, she'd be just jamming to her tunes, you know what I mean? And turns out she was a former, you know, medical worker. Mm. You know, I think she spent some time in the military as a nurse or whatever, that kind of thing. And so she had all these little tidbits of, like, health stuff, and she told me this, and I'm like, I've never heard that before, and, like, one of my parental figures was a registered nurse. She's like, well, she wasn't a very good one.
Yeah, well, yeah, good, a good rule of thumb is take your body weight in pounds, divide it in two, and aim for that many ounces.
That's a lot of ounces.
That is a lot of ounces, but that's what you should be aiming for.
Well, and water is such an overlooked part of human health. Everybody, when they thinks about, oh, I want to be healthier, like, oh, it's a new year, I want to have this resolution, the first thought that they go to is, I got to go to the gym, I got to, like, get on a diet. Yep. And these things are great, you know? Like, you definitely do want to go to the gym, and you definitely want to have a healthy regimen that you incorporate into your lifestyle. You shouldn't just, like, do something temporarily and then go back to eating junk. But the easiest thing you can do is drink more water, and people don't realize that.
Yeah, it is a very important part and overlooked, too. One of the tips that another tip that not only did I get from the same lady, but also a friend of mine recently who's, you know, kind of trying to be healthier, trying to be, you know, less of himself, if you will, was that, you know, do filter your water if you have city water. Yep. If you have well water, get your water tested.
Mm.
See what's in it. See what, you know, you might need to filter out. But also...
and if you have city water, good luck.
Well,
also, yeah, try to get the fluoride out of that if you can.
Well, so there are gravity filters that will filter fluoride.
Mm.
I own one.
Like Berkey's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I own one, but you have to buy both of the filters. You have to get the charcoal and the ceramic filter for it.
Yep.
And then it will take it up. But you also have to, like, I recommend you testing your post-filtered water as well, because you might actually need to add some stuff to it.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of these filters will filter out the good stuff, the minerals that, you know, like spring water would come with that, you know, you're not going to get if you're already on city water. Maybe your house has a filtration system and now you're also going to Berkey that thing.
Yeah.
Like that's triple filtered. Now, maybe you need to do that depending on what kind of contaminants are in your water. But it's almost a given that city water contains contaminants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and before I would overwhelm anyone with, like, oh, you know, filter your water three times and do all these things,
right,
like, I would recommend that somebody just figures out how much water they drink in a day. Get, like, a big water bottle. Like, I have a big water bottle next to me that's, like, 1,900 milliliters, I think, and, like, just drink one of those in a
day. Milliliters? What the heck are those?
Or like, what, 64 ounces?
How many 2 liters is that?
I have no... Well, I guess it's almost... I guess it's almost 2 liters.
Okay. Right.
Because milliliters are, like, I always forget that, like, the way that Europeans measure things is actually a lot simpler than you might think.
If you drink a lot of water, European.
Nice mnemonic there.
But yeah, drink more water and try to figure out how much you're drinking and then try to increase that. And then once you increase that, then, like, and you've been consistently doing it, then figure out, like, is this the most optimal water that I can drink? And, like, just build off of that. Like, if you want to just jump right into it, feel free. I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but, like, a lot of this stuff can be overwhelming. It's why a lot of people aren't libertarian, I think, is because, like, it's very overwhelming when you realize the whole world that you knew is run by a bunch of evil people.
And completely against you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like almost everything is against you.
Yeah. Oh, so you found out everyone is evil and everyone has things stacked against you. Well, I have this beautiful individualist ideology that almost no one else adheres to unless you live in New Hampshire. And so, like, yeah, at the time that you feel the most alone, let's give you the ideology that... You know, like, kind of, like, emphasizes that a little bit.
So the other part about water that I wanted to mention, if I can remember what it was. It was when you're trying to, like, lose weight, right? You don't want to eat until, like, your body tells you that it's hungry.
Yeah.
Not your mind, your body.
Yeah.
Right? Wait until your stomach goes or something, right? You know, till you're like, oh, I'm actually hungry. I'm not bored between, hungry. I'm actual hungry.
Yeah, the difference between hunger and appetite.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't eat just because you've got an appetite.
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing about the water is that when your body does signal that it's hungry, the first thing you should do
pre-load
is not eat you should chug, you know, a big old thing of water, whatever that means to you. For me, it means probably like a 16, like a pint of water or something for me. And then wait. And then sure enough, man, your body goes like, hey, I'm not gurgling at you anymore, at least for a little while.
And then even when you are eating, there's this principle that that the Okinawans adhere to, which they're the oldest living populations on Earth. They're known as blue zones, you know, places where people are really healthy.
Okay.
And the phrase that they have is arahachibu, which is basically eat until you're 80% full.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So, like, you know, even when, you know, you're eating, just, like, stop once it's, like you know, been enough. Like, you're not going to go hungry, but...
It's interesting, because, like, there's all these heavy metal singers that do this, like, screaming and yelling thing that, like, doesn't seem sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, most people can yell and scream for a short period of time before they, well, they kill their voice, right? Mm-hmm. They kill their larynx, or they, you know, blow their voice out, or they get hoarse, or whatever it is. But these guys, these heavy metal singers, can do this sustainably.
Mm.
There's a series, a educational series called The Zen of Screaming.
Oh, yeah.
That will teach any aspiring heavy metal yellers and screamers out there, will teach you how to do this. And how to do it, like, in key.
Mm.
Right? Which is odd, right? But it's interesting because they also invoke the 80% rule.
Mm.
The idea behind it is, you're supposed to figure out, you know, what your own scream or yell sounds like, or both, depending on which one you're trying to do, and then back off 20%, right? And that's how it's sustainable.
Yeah.
So, and I can't reproduce that here. I have not taken the course, and also I'm no good at, like, heavy metal screaming. I could do an occasional, yeah, right, you know, backup vocal type stuff. But otherwise, I'm a clean singer. I gotta sing like this, yeah. You know, sort of a country western creed Primus amalgam.
I wonder if there's a, what do they call it, puking? When you, well, you talk like this because your radio voice can go for a very long time by doing this, and it relaxes your larynx.
Mm.
I wonder if there's a scream version of that.
Oh, that's a good question.
It doesn't surprise me that 80-20 rule within screaming, because you see a lot of these numerical phenomenons can be found in nature, like just the two examples that we gave. But there's also the most popular example of the 80-20 rule, where it's like 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and like and eight, like, you know, 20% of your if you run a business, 20% of your clients give you 80% of your problems, you know. So like it's found within nature, like in your voice, or within diet. It's also found within each other sociologically. So it's just interesting. You know, going into the significance of numbers is a very interesting rabbit hole.
What's the other name for the 80-20 rule?
Oh, the Pareto principle.
The Pareto principle.
Yeah. If there's two things that I wish would just become common knowledge already, it's the Pareto principle and the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Explain the Dunning-Kruger.
So the Dunning-Kruger effect is the less you know about a thing, the less you know about how much you know about that thing.
Oh my gosh, I experienced that so much.
Yeah, no, it's endemic to humanity. It's how everything works. Mm-hmm. So, like, you see someone doing a thing, and you think you know what they're doing, and you don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, oh, well, that looks easy. It's not. You don't know that it's not easy because you don't know that well enough.
Mm.
So, like, you know, I might think, oh, well, I know enough about this given topic because what I actually know about that topic is so little that I don't know how much there is to know.
Right.
And this applies to all sorts of things. Like, one of the most popular examples is American Idol.
Mm.
So if you are a bad enough singer, you will not know how bad you are at singing.
Oh,
and that's
my gosh.
Pretty much the draw there.
Yeah.
For, like, the opening scenes is like, oh, well, here are all these people who are convinced that they are amazing singers, and wow, they are not.
Mm.
And the same thing happens in every field, where if you are so bad at this thing, you won't know how bad you are at it.
Wow. I don't want to say opposite, but what is the thing where, like, if you see a guy doing something and you're like, oh, I can do that, and then you go ahead and you do that, and you're successful at it?
It's beginner's luck.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Because, like, So I was putting new deck cover on my front porch this summer, and I didn't know how to do it. So I watched a YouTube video and learned how to do it, and then I went and I did it, and I was like, "Oh, that was easy," and I did it. So is that just beginner's luck?
Yeah. So that one's really more just a matter of like no longer being intimidated by the thing.
Well, and like the video that I watched, like I didn't put the sound on. I just like looked at it, right? So I'm like, okay. It's like a 5-minute video. You know, here's how you turn the squares. Here's how you, you know, plop them into place. You got to get yourself a. I already had a rubber mallet and that kind of thing. They were just these snap together deck covering composite plastic, if you will, right? Oh, no, you didn't get plastic. You got composite. No, you got plastic. They're the same thing. It's just a glorified word for plastic.
Well, and so by looking into the thing, you overcame the Dunning-Kruger effect. So if you just, like, saw someone put this up, you're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then you just went and tried to do that, you almost certainly would have failed. Because you didn't know that you didn't know so much.
I think another piece, too, might be that people do have things that they are inherently good at. Like, I mean, an example for me is that I love languages, and so I would take like 2 or 3 language classes simultaneously, and I would like teach other people like in the class how to do it, and I would like skip whole semesters of it because it wasn't advanced. But like it's not like I like excel at everything though. Like you threw me in front of a computer and tell me to code and I'll have no idea how the hell to do that. Like,
right. Yeah.
But like I think that's just the inherent difference between humans is that you have humans that are good at certain things and they excel. And so they're incentivized to go into that. And we're all different in that way. Yeah. Like I can be really good at something that somebody else is bad at.
Yep.
And then I'm able to fill that niche, you know, and provide that value to people, which is why markets are so important. Like, if you're forcing everybody to do one thing, one, you're making it so that they're potentially doing something that they're inferior at than somebody else, and two, you're making it so that you're inhibiting them from doing something that they could be great at.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the quote. I think it's is it Thomas Sowell? Equality is a sham, right? When you hear politicians talking about we have to have equality, well, because like the same man isn't equal to himself on different days,
exactly.
Much less equal to another man, right? Because of what you described,
right.
Everybody has their own individual talents and abilities that they excel at, and so like I might be good at picking 6 strings on a guitar, right? But somebody else might be good at, you know, swinging a hammer at some nails and that kind of thing. But, like, you know, we're not automatically equally good as each other at those things, right? Like,
well, there is one exception to this rule, and it will tell you exactly where every ideology of equality leads you. Death. When you are dead, you are just as good at playing guitar as I am. You are just as good as you were yesterday. We are all equally dead.
Although,
and that's the only way to have equality.
If you listeners out there want to pretend that I'm dead, go visit CaptainKickass.com and buy some merch and some EPs and some T-shirts or whatever. Because, you know, apparently that's what it takes to sell, is to be dead.
Yeah, almost no one ever gets rich during their own lifetime.
Yeah, wasn't who was the really famous one that was the case? Was it Van Gogh or Picasso?
Oh, Picasso. Oh, I love this one. This one's great. So Picasso manages to get fabulously famous during his own lifetime. So what he ends up doing, he goes around and, you know, just has all of his followers at these restaurants and orders everything on the menu. And then when the bill comes, he whips out his checkbook, you know, signs the right number for it, and then flips it over and draws a picture, which he then signs.
Wow.
So the check never gets cashed.
Right.
Because a signed original Picasso is going to be worth more than a meal. So he just does this over and over and over again.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is actually how the American monetary system works.
I don't think that I could do that. Like, I can't go to a restaurant and then, like, you know, I don't know, first of all, like, have my guitar on me. Like, that's not going to happen. or, like, you know, I can't... Like, I don't think I could pay my bill through the majesty of song.
No. No, you'd have to get someone to buy your dinner for you,
unless
and then you'd be singing for yourself.
Well, what you could do is, if you became a really famous singer, what you could do is you could, like, get out your CD, sign it, and then give it to them. And then, like,
CD?
Or whatever, like a...
Aren't you younger than,
well,
like...
Well, okay, well, you know what's funny is that here? Is that records are kind of making a comeback.
Vinyl?
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, you could sign a vinyl, and that might actually be worth more than a CD at this point, because humans are weird.
yeah, they are.
Yeah.
All right, you had something to say?
Oh, yeah. So this is actually how the American monetary system works. So instead of all of these countries that have bought American debt mm-hmm. actually cashing that debt in, they just collect it and use it as sort of a backing so that, you know, when they print their own into oblivion, they've got a less degraded form of money to back up their banking systems. But if it ever reaches them that, you know, we're pretty sure that you're going to do to us what you did to Russia and just not let us cash this in,
yeah.
then all of a sudden those checks start getting cashed and there is no balance there for them. And that results in the collapse of the global monetary system.
And we're seeing the canary in the coal mine right now, in that Japan has sort of become an American proxy.
Mm-hmm.
And look at their economy. Total depression. I mean, and meanwhile, Bitcoin is hitting an all-time high in yen. And mm-hmm. that's not even all-time high in the past 2 years. It is a all-time high. Bitcoin has never been worth more in yen than ever before.
Really?
Yes.
Because, like, the dollar value isn't all-time
high. No, the dollar value is not an all-time high, but the yen value is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they printed so many yen.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, Japan is the canary in the coal mine because it's a satellite state of the U.S. Like, we're going to see more of these satellite states falling, and as it gets closer and closer to America, like... The signals are going to become more and more obvious.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big things is because of their collapsing yen, they've had to stop buying U.S. treasuries
yep.
and, in fact, started selling them to prop those up, mm-hmm. which means that the monetary policy of the U.S. has had to shift so that everyone puts all their money in money market accounts instead of just having them in the bank, which is what's causing these banking collapses in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What kind of effect will that have on... what's his name? Javier Milei, right? And because he is
well,
said,
so it's still a move up.
We're gonna move to the dollar.
It's still a move up from where he's at, yeah. and it will still stabilize things comparatively because this is still the prettiest horse in the glue factory.
And he's friendly to Bitcoin.
Yeah. All right, 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation tonight. We've got more Free Talk Live coming up, including why would a sports league spy on your social media posts? Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Ukraine has given Russia a win. Troops have withdrawn from the frontline city of Avdiivka to avoid being surrounded. The battle for that industrial hub has been one of the bloodiest of the 2-year war. Meanwhile, Russia trying to develop a nuclear space weapon that would destroy satellites in orbit around the Earth with a massive energy pulse. The technology is being called a nuclear EMP, basically a pulse of electromagnetic energy and highly charged particles that would disrupt satellites that control cell phones, TV, the internet, just about everything. Former President Donald Trump was very clear about how he feels about the order to pay over $350 million in his New York civil fraud trial, calling it a witch hunt. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans and nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a two-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's episode of Free Talk Live.
Oh, yeah.
That we're doing, we're having an episode. Sounds like we're having a bad time. We're having an episode. Are you guys having an episode?
I mean, I guess definitionarily, yes.
I'm making an episode.
Yeah, you are. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And I think I say this every time I do a Dash read, but using Dash for gift cards is so fast.
Yeah.
It's so fast.
I love Dash. I mean, and just in terms of what you should, like, and this isn't financial advice, but what just has a better saving ability, it's Bitcoin all the way. But in terms of, like, ease of use and, like, actual use, like, day-to-day, I think that Dash wins
yeah.
probably hands down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never had the ability to like, oh, here's this special way of spending Bitcoin cash for, you know, gift cards at all these places that I'm going to.
Right.
Let alone turning it into like a what is it, MasterCard or Visa, one of the...
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes it so that you could basically literally spend it everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, I do want to get into some of our show prep, but we are a live call-in radio program. We got some calls on hold, so let's go to, I'm told, so I haven't verified this, but I'm told this is the real McCoy.
Sure is.
What's on your mind, man?
So, I have information that you guys might find interesting, so will Bonnie.
Okay.
Maybe, potentially. So, there's two names. Matthew Cox is the first.
Is that a name? COX for the last?
Yes,
okay.
COX.
Yeah, okay.
And Frank Amadeo, I don't know how it's pronounced. But those are the two important names to know why. So Matthew Cox is a legit person that went to federal prison for fraud, forgery, pretty much anything you can think of in that type of stuff. Dealt with mortgages, dealt with all this stuff, was just constantly committing all these things, and that, for lack of better words, yeah, sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. But anyways, point being, he spent 13 years in federal prison.
Okay.
So, he was originally sentenced for 26 years.
Wow. So,
and the reason I found out about all this is I've listened to Lex Fridman's podcast on the interview he did with Matthew Cox. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-hour-long podcast, so if you have time, you might want to set aside time for that. But you could also go to his YouTube channel. He has a YouTube channel just called Matthew Cox, True Crime Stuff, because obviously he knows a lot about criminals, and he talked to a bunch of criminals in federal prison, their stories, why they were there, this, that, the other thing.
How does us going and, you know, hearing him, you know, assist with...
Right. His lawyer is Frank Amadeo.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to listen to that story because you're not going to believe it when you hear it.
Okay. Can you give us, like, a primer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because apparently Frank Amadeo was the one that got him out earlier than expected.
Cool.
Because he was also in federal prison with him.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, my point being for this call is that maybe you guys might want to look into this, try to get contacts with him. Maybe you could apply whatever Matthew Cox did with Ian Freeman.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. I will forward this information to our crack team of producers, not our team of crack producers, just so that we're clear.
Ian can get free time or less time in federal prison.
Yeah, I know that the countdown is on at least for Aria to get out. I talked to her via email a couple of days ago, I guess, and there was like, you know, her estimation was that it's entirely possible, because I told her about the Bitcoin halving coming up and that it might happen, you know, around April 20th or so. And she was
the
like,
miners are going to make sure that happens.
Expect so.
Yeah.
So like, she's like, you know, it's entirely possible that I will get out around that same time. She's like, at the latest, it'll be like late May, but it could be as early as, I think she said, like 64 days or something from a couple of days ago. I didn't do the math, so, like, you know. But, like, wouldn't that just be weird?
It would be beautiful if the first thing Aria could do when Aria gets out is participate in crypto again when this beautiful occurrence is happening within the technology. I think that would be amazing.
And then her release date and the date of the halving could coincide.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a beautiful synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yes. There are no coincidences, though.
Is it synchronicity or serendipity?
Well, they are. There is a huge overlap between those two.
So synchronicity.
Synchronicity.
Yes.
It's the portmanteau of the day.
It is.
Synchronicity.
Well earned.
Yeah. Well done, Real McCoy. Good job.
Yeah, no problem. That's all. Last thing.
Yep.
Frank Amadeo is also apparently diagnosed with some form of schizophrenia. So that's another primer for you.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for the call and the information. We will look into it, and hopefully we can apply that stuff to Mr. Freeman and see what happens, man.
Yeah, for any new listeners, we might want to let them know that the reason this is pertinent to us is we have a founding host that is currently spending time in the spiritual retreat against his will for allowing people to spend their own money.
Yeah, the guy who put together, well, this studio, all the equipment in it, the show, worked hard at making it be a thing. It's his life's effort, really. Some people are born to, be a roofer, right? Or a guitar player or whatever. Like, Ian Freeman was born to do this show and spent his entire life building it into something that gets rated consistently in the top 25 by Talkers Magazine, which is the heavy 100, right? Number 25 the last time they rated. So, like, I mean, that's an accomplishment. That takes effort, that takes time, that takes perseverance, and that kind of a thing. And so to have somebody that's such a champion of free speech get raided by the FBI multiple times, get thrown into prison for the dastardly crime of selling Bitcoin to willing customers.
And let's not make their case too easy. It's not even just that he was selling Bitcoin. It was that he was fighting a spiritual battle against the evil people of the world by using a system that will undermine everything that they do. That's what this is. Like, make no mistake, they wanted to make sure that this was downplayed in the trial, but this was a religious act.
Yes.
Full stop. And they didn't address it because, they know the trouble that they would get in if they addressed it. But make no mistake, that's what this was about. It was a matter of good and evil, and they fell on the evil side because that's what they are.
Yep.
And the system that they support is evil, and crypto seeks to undermine all of it, and all Ian was doing was making it easier for people to get into it.
Yeah, and I hope that there are more people on planet Earth that continue that sort of activity.
It's incredibly holy, to be sure.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's been described to me as, the United States dollar is, the government, the murder buck, if you will, right? State-based currency, is that of the state, that of government, right? Fiat currency, if you will, any sort of like the euro and whatever came before that, the pound and the franc and, whatever, all that kind of stuff. Those are money of the state. And then you had like, do you remember when Facebook was trying to do like their own currency?
Oh, yeah. I think it was actually a blockchain type.
It was trying to be a thing. But, so you had money of the state, and then you had like money of the corporation. Right? So, whereas cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, is money of the people.
Yep. Literally not owned by anybody.
Right.
But simultaneously can be owned by anybody.
Yes. Yes. And so, to me, just that alone makes it worth something. People are like, oh, but it's not backed by anything. Yes, it is. It's backed by mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
It solves the
double spend problem. The general, Byzantine generals problem. Yeah. How do you trust someone you do not trust? And this has been an unsolvable philosophical problem until it was solved. And it turns out the solution required getting close enough.
Well, and anyone that says that there's no value behind being the biggest and strongest and most secure network on Earth, I want to smoke whatever they're smoking.
All right. We have another caller. I believe this is Crichton calling. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. I get the most recent conversation, I get the remembrance of from Sunday school that Jesus quoted as saying is that be warm or be cold, for if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. And most of people are lukewarm. And you guys, mm-hmm. without a doubt, including Ian, are not lukewarm. And that kind of activity attracts the attention of enemy.
Yeah.
Sorry. My speech impediment is stepping on
it. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. You're spot on.
But the reason I called in is because you were talking about the Dunning-Kruger effect earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting for you guys to get to where I was thinking, but you never got there. And I wanted to see if you guys agree with me. Because I honestly believe that the iron law of bureaucracy is a second order effect of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And let me explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
Dunning-Kruger effect being more accurately described as the confidence of someone who is not an expert compared to the more general insecurity of someone who is an expert. And you see that a lot in news programs where they have two people that are debating it, and you have some sophomore, literally where we get the word from, a wise fool, someone who knows enough to be dangerous, confidently debating a true expert, and the audience believes that the sophomore is the better expert because of the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the iron law of bureaucracy is a second order effect. The iron law of bureaucracy being that any bureaucracy, any organization that has existed for more than a generation will be taken over, but not by the people who believe in the mission of the organization, but by the people who benefit and believe in the organization itself. And they will ultimately take over the organization and then control the hiring of the organization. And then the organization will become to the benefit of those second people.
Yeah, that the people who abandon the original purpose of the organization in favor of the continued existence of the organization.
Mm.
So like, okay, yeah. Well, we have defeated this problem. Should we then disband? No. We must seek more enemies of this problem.
Is that like what happened when Google decided to take down their don't be evil motto?
Maybe. But the best example that I can think of in the modern world for the iron law of bureaucracy is third wave feminism. Like, everyone agrees with the original idea of feminism, of equality between the sexes. Because there's no disagreement that, historically speaking, Western world did not have equality between the sexes before 1900.
Yeah, equality in terms of rights, yeah.
The voting rights, et cetera, working rights, all of the above. These were true statements.
Voting rights are an oxymoron.
Yeah, well, voting worked, it would be illegal.
They are a popular hallucination.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out, sorry.
Go ahead, Craig.
But over the generations where the new people come in, and they start off believing it, but they're not experts. They're young women, mostly, who enter into this organization. They start off believing in the organization itself, right? They believe that it's doing something good. And then the people who are actually experts in what their topic is in the organization either retire or they just simply fade away. They leave the organization for whatever reason, and they leave these experts, these founders, leave their organization in the hands of trainees who are not quite ready, and these trainees get in charge, and then they hire more people to train them at a lower level than they were trained, and over generations, this is what you get. This you get the modern third wave feminism that doesn't even understand what they're about, much less what reality is about. And that's just the best example that I have.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great example, because, like, even owning property was not legally protected for women.
Right.
So, yeah, I fully comprehend why you would need a movement to change that.
Right.
And, yeah, they never call it a win and say, okay, we're done. We have now acquired legal and rights equality between men and women. Instead, they want to continue the organization instead of the purpose of the organization. So, okay, no, we need even more for women. Like, no, it's not similarly with the race issues. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not enough that it is legally required that you treat races equally. No, now we need restoration. Yeah. We need you, this generation, to pay for the crimes of the previous generation against this group. Why? Because it keeps this organization in existence.
And you know what's crazy about this is that it becomes like a, like, you know, I forget what the term is, but essentially there's like an eternal feedback loop because, like, if the feminists push so far such that men are now oppressed, men are going to start organizing and start pushing back and being like, no, now our rights are being violated, and they might overcorrect. And then the women are like, okay, well, now look at us. Now we're actually in a precarious situation. And then they fight back.
And that's exactly how...
And then everyone stays employed. Like, I mean, at least all of the evil people do.
And that's exactly how the duopoly of the two-party system keeps going back and forth.
Correct.
And, yeah, you're absolutely right about it does have that Dunning-Kruger effect where the people coming in don't even realize what the original purpose of the organization was.
Well, it's because none of us are knowledgeable of history in any way, which I think that if I could fix something, snap my fingers, I'd say that it would be to make people more knowledgeable of history. Because I think that if they were, most people would be anarchist.
We learn from the past that people seldom learn from the past.
Well, and the thing is, learning from the past, not only is the process difficult, but learning the actual lessons mean you have to change as a person.
Yep.
You can no longer believe that voting will be sufficient to fix this problem if you actually know that, hey, we tried that over and over again.
You also know that constitutions don't actually protect your rights.
Right. And that's a terrifying, thing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Crichton?
Yeah, well, my actual question for you guys is what is your opinion about that perspective? Because I don't really actually have an argument for this opinion. Just, I believe it. And so I would like you to tear it down in an intellectual way. Am I doing something wrong in what I'm doing here, in my opinion?
I mean, I feel like you've explained it pretty well. You seem to have a grasp of the concept. You seem to be able to relay it in terms that at least I can understand. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I have failed in my mission to get a twofer. from last call.
I'll tell you what, call back in and I'll do some thinking about this and see what I can do to at least give you a nice steel man devil's argument or devil's advocate on it.
Today.
Yeah, but next time, like a week from now, for example.
Yeah, he's here every Saturday, so just call next week.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, it's scheduled.
Crichton, thank you for the call. We'll talk to you then, man.
Yeah, I also want to point out that one of the more interesting things about, when you actually know something versus don't know something. So on those rare occasions that you will read, like, an article in a newspaper that's actually in your field.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a single example where they don't screw it all up? Because I got to tell you, every time that they go into something that I am really knowledgeable about, and there's this reporting on something in this subject, I'm like, wow, you guys have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, crypto especially.
Right. And here's the wild part, though. As soon as they move into a subject I don't know about, I just kind of assume they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, then I think that what I would suggest is you send it to somebody that you think is knowledgeable about that topic and then listen to their feedback on it, and they'll probably rip into it in the same way that you were ripping into it on a topic that you were knowledgeable about.
Yeah, the thing about crypto, particularly as new as it is, right, or was, I guess, was that anyone who was just sort of a fan of it in the beginning, he read the white paper, maybe you knew a guy who, was, maybe you mined a little yourself on your computer, that kind of thing. Like, that made you the expert all of a sudden you could be reporting on Bitcoin and be the foremost authority, so to speak, right?
Right.
On the subject matter, because, well, you did a thing with it. You had some, and you could explain to other people what it was. And so, like, if you ever had a talent or a desire to be, like, you know, a reporter or, you know, to have a blog or a podcast or something about anything, right? Well, here's a subject that's so new that as long as you stay involved with the technology, right, you can make that a thing, even though, you know, the equality, if you will, of knowledge is shared only by the early adopters.
Well, and I'd have a call to action to the listeners here then, because if you listen to this show, you're probably already a part of the top 10th of 1% of people who understand crypto. Like, I'd say that 99.9% of people on this planet have no clue what it is, and it's just magical internet money. And build on top of that understanding, like, you know, once you have a wallet, and by wallet I mean a wallet that you actually own, not a wallet that's on an exchange.
That's right, yeah.
Because that's not a wallet, that is an account, a brokerage, you know, it's not your money. Once you have a wallet, then build on that knowledge, like learn, you know, maybe how to mine. Like, there's some coins that let you mine on your computer. And then on top of that, last night, actually, I learned how to set up a Bitcoin node. Yeah, so that was new for me.
Nice.
Level up.
Yeah, and so you could level up in that way. And shoot, if you know how to code, which it's becoming more and more increasingly relevant to learn how to do that, consider looking into a crypto project and applying your skills in doing that, because this is, whether the evil people like it or not, Bitcoin and crypto is coming for their lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on part of the, like, you being, like, the top tenth of a percent of people in the world, like, when Reuters goes ahead and says, the authorities seized Bitcoin, like, almost everyone thinks that's actually a thing that can ever happen.
Right.
And we, because we know this well enough, will dig into it and actually read the third paragraph where they say, oh, by seized it, we mean that it was voluntarily given to the police.
Which is the only way you can get somebody's crypto if it's not on an exchange.
603-283-6160. And thank you to Crichton for his call and the Real McCoy. If you want to join us, dial 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live. Hour number two is on the way. Don't go anywhere.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.